Have you ever been scammed by a car mechanic, by a tradesman, by anyone providing a service? Those beautiful invoices you look through, they look well printed, but when you think about it for a time, you realise, yes, I've paid too much, I've believed the line, I've listened to the story, I've been lulled into parting with my hard-earned cash. Now, you may instantly complain, and you should. You should raise a complaint instantly. That's what you have to do. However, I've been in queues and seen people complain, and they just turn the customer around. And you will have seen or experienced this yourself. Perhaps what you haven't experienced is the long term, the long haul response of a scientist looking at this, slowly gathering information, trying to work out strategies, trying to work out the actual systems of beliefs. Now, it may be surprising, you may look at the famous scientists, sites on the TV, Richard Dawkins, people who have got a loud opinion and can assert their belief and back it up with facts. But in fact, the job of a scientist is to actually gather a large amount of observations and slowly fit together different belief systems to it. So this is what you'll see me do, and you may find it's rather amusing or be intrigued a little bit by listening to it. There's another aspect to it, is that besides actually getting the ideas and the facts, you've got to slowly innovate. And the innovation I've had is the concept of a never-ending podcast. Now, I assure you, this podcast will end, but when it's finished, and you come back to it, I will have upgraded it week in, month in, year in, with new insights to add on. Now, they're not going to be a very long podcast. They'll be short episode-lets. So you will have heard an episode by episode podcast, a long series of things. But this is a more alive podcast. And the concept here, the advanced concept here, is that I give a little episode, some action happens, and I get back to you on the same podcast. So once you've heard it up to a certain point, say 3 minutes, you go up to 3 minutes and listen beyond it if it's gone beyond there. So let's start. I live up in the Blue Mountains in Australia. The Blue Mountains stretches anywhere from 200 metres above sea level to 1,600. It's part of a long mountain chain which goes from the very tip of Queensland all the way down to Melbourne or Warrnambool. And it's a sort of fairly gentle mountain range. Some people would call it hills. But down from the mountains, we live on the very edge, in the going down from Glenbrook down to Penrith. There are the plains below, the plains which stretch out, and the rivers which wind up in Sydney Harbour. It's the Parramatta River. But around Penrith is the flat plains, and this is where all the car yards are. And little people, if they can, live up in the oasis, little mountain communities, which are in little secret valleys, a lot of them in little secret valleys, and Glenbrook's one of them. I'm just giving you a bit of context up here. So Glenbrook has risen up only recently, and the actual rivers have stayed in the same position. And as it's risen up, the rivers have carved these fairly unexpected ravines through the hills. The hills have risen up, and the rivers have stayed the same. So I drove my little jazz car, a little Honda jazz car, from up here in Glenbrook down to the service centre on the Great Western Highway in Kingswood. I'm giving these places so people in Australia who know about it will be able to locate it. So I drove it down there and I put in the jazz. I think it had 150,000 kilometres for its service there. And that was going to have a service of around $250 Australian. Now, what I wound up paying is around $500 because the following things happened. It was at the service centre. They phoned up my wife and said, look, this is the service centre calling. I'm calling from the service centre. And a mechanic recommends that you have your fuel injected injector cleaned and your throttle head cleaned. It will make your car run a lot better. We know this will happen, and we want to know this will be for you, good of your car, improve the safety. Do you approve? And the answer was yes. And that yes cost $250. So I went up later that afternoon to pick up the car, and I knew these additional services were booked in. And I went up to the desk. They call you up to the desk. They're often very busy plugging in data. You know, don't disturb me. You know, I'm not here to talk with you. Here is the bill and stuff like that. So I got the bill and I paid for it. But I looked through it, and it's an A4 sheet of standard paper stapled, about three sheets of paper stapled together. There's a lot of detail on it with the address at the front page, and then the hours of work. And then there's another item which I looked at was for free, $0 for free, and that was the Australian consumer law. You got the Australian consumer law for free, and it stated a few points of that. And then you turn the page to see consumables, etc. I looked, ran down my eye. This is a little bit expensive, $500. It was twice as much as I expected to pay, and it showed that the fuel injection cleaning cost $60, and the throttle cost $60. Now we'll just go a little bit about a car. Car's got an internal combustion engine. A Jazz has four cylinders, and in each of these cylinders there's a small jet which atomizes, puffs the fuel into the chamber, so it's mixed with air and puffed in and drawn in as the piston pulls back. And then the piston, the valves close, it closes it up, it compresses the gas. The gas is an explosive mixture, but it requires a spark to go, so it doesn't explode until the electronic command says go. It's maximum compression. This then expands and pushes the cylinder, and that push is transmitted through mechanics to mechanical mechanisms to your tires to get you to go forward. So if your fuel injector is dirty, it won't atomize properly, will lose fuel efficiency. So it's interesting that the Jazz reports its fuel efficiency before and after, and I can tell you that this fuel injection had no effect. It may have had a small sound effect in the way the engine ran, but in terms of the actual fuel efficiency, it had no effect. So you need your injection cleaned, but it may well be that it's unclear that they actually took the engine apart and actually inspected and manually cleaned the injection point. Inspected and cleaned the ejection ports. The throttle head cleaner. The throttle is a paddle, the air intake, and the paddle is mechanically operated. And so to throttle your car, you actually close this air inlet. You flick the panel close, which closes the air inlet. And this increases the fuel to air ratio, or reduces the amount of air into your car. And it means your car is less fuel efficient, but it sparks and goes from a colder engine. So in the older cars, you used to have to, this is 20 years ago, you used to have a throttle, you used to pull out the throttle, let the car keep on going, and after a while you'd close the throttle. So this is early startup of the engine. So your throttle head can get dirty, but whether it affects the overall performance of your car all the time, it's hard to know. But both these two services cost $60. I then turned the page to discover consumables, and the fuel injection cleaner cost $59, whatever that was, and the throttle head cleaner cost $52.90. And I said, so the overall bill comes up to a bit over the cost of the entire services for these two items, and explained that those weren't necessary. They needed to spray this special thing on. And I felt, this cannot be right. But I didn't say anything because, unlike a non-scientist, I suppose, where it's quick draw, you've make your observation, you draw your conclusion, and you fire away, I began to gather information. So on the way home, I drove to a auto supplier, a do-it-yourself auto supplier called Super Cheap Auto, and presented the bill and said, look, let's have a discussion here. I've got a few people around, they got onto computers, identified the different parts, identified the processes and the amount of time required. So in their estimation, that a competent person could unscrew the four bolts they've pulled up on their screen on the JAS and unplug, there's a piece of electronics which reads the angle that the throttle is open, so the computer can control the throttle exactly. And they reckon that would take about 4 minutes and probably about 10 minutes maximum to clean the throttle. And they explained that the throttle does get dirty, pollen and carbon build up, and this throttle head cleaner is very good. It can actually, you spray it on and just simply wipe it off. And they had products there, fairly large cans of it for $5. That's their no name brand, and for their name brand it was $15. So I had a markup of about 10 to 3 times markup at the dealer. A similar thing for the fuel injection thing. You can just pour this additive into your petrol tank before you go, $15, and that's done. So that's really unnecessary to go across. But then we had a small little crowd and we began to discuss this, and after thought for a while, and this is important, they said, look, my throttle head, I've used my throttle head cleaner. I've done it once at about $200,000, 200,000 kilometres on my car. I've done it once, and look, the ranges in Australia are much longer because compared to Europe, the distances are much bigger. So you pick up, you drive a lot greater distances. So these distances may be quite big. In the United States or Canada, it will be less. And I'd hate to think of what it's like in Russia. But he said, look, I sprayed my can only once or twice. So generally, you can get about 100 sprays out of your, do 100 or at least 50 throttle head cleans with this throttle head cleaner, and it's the type of thing that one person in the district buys, and you know who's got it, and you take it away, and you just have a rag there. So that seems an overall very highly expensive stuff. And then there was a general discussion. There was about 3 or 4 people there, including customers, and they sort of discussed, look, people just pay the bills. They don't actually go and inquire and start to research and believe and build a story behind what could have happened and the belief systems and working things out. I said, well, surely people do. And they said, no, in general, people don't. And so that tricked me up to saying, oh, look, I'm very much trained to actually work out the story and build the overall intelligence picture to what's going on. And then we got on to a philosophical point about what people could have been doing better. Those mechanics could have been servicing other cars or being more competitive in a more productive way, say offering extra service, things that people would value. We sort of reflected overall that here we are, a group of Australians, and we could have been doing a lot of better things. We could be looking after other people, helping the elderly, looking after disabled people, looking after the environment. But we're here putting our minds together as a group of Australians trying to work out the best thing to do. So I went back, and indeed began doing some basic research on what's in a throttle head cleaner fluid, and in general realised I was scammed a little bit, but I had to do a bit more research, which will be the title of episode 2. So episode let 2 will occur straight after here. So thanks for listening for this particular episode, and depending what episode you get up to, just go to a different length as I dive into this, and I hope that you can listen in as I take a slightly more scientific approach of gathering observations, a pattern of observations, or several observations, trying to spot patterns, trying to work out theories, doing tests, and developing an understanding of the belief system, rather than just thumping the table and saying, this is too expensive, I'm not paying. And they've obviously developed defences against this by saying, oh, well, you agreed, pressure, and try and brinksmanship. Hopefully you'll watch the way that listen into as a scientist slowly but surely works his way through to get to the bottom of this, and hopefully at the end of the day get people behaving more productively and us producing a better Australia by working more efficiently. That's my aim. Hello, this is episode 2, little sub-episode 2 in an extended chain podcast about myself being ripped off, paying too much for some throttle head cleaner. So the story so far, it's a Jazz. I've driven it down from the mountain to the plains to Penrith Honda auto shop, and it's gone away. A phone call has been made asking to apply this product from the dealership. It's on mechanic's recommendation, the authorization's gone ahead. I've gone back down the plane, looked at the invoice, been a little bit suspicious because the invoice is broken up such that you can't see the two parts together because they've slapped a piece of Australian consumer law in the middle of your invoice, so that's a bit suspicious. I've gone afterwards, I paid up, I've gone up afterwards and had a round table conference with customers, mechanics, anyone who's walking around the place at a auto components sales place, and come to the conclusion that perhaps this is a little bit expensive. So this is the next podcast building on from there. I've done a little bit of research to understand about how your throttle head can become dirty. So this is your air intake. It's a butterfly valve. This is a flat plate which closes on your air intake, and the idea is that at various points in time it can actually close off the air intake into your engine. Your air engine starved for air, so the running of the engine goes into a different regime, which is better for a cold start. Now it turns out that your throttle head can get dirty over time. Particularly at the end of when you're switching off the engine, the final blast may not necessarily go out the exhaust. It will go producing half burnt product and it will blow back and collect on your throttle. And so eventually this will become clagged up with mostly resiny, incomplete combustion. So it'll have a resiny sort of thick layer which can easily be washed off with solvent. And I've also found out that there's an issue of just using any solvent because the solvent can wash back into the engine. So you want the solvent to be liquid but then vaporise very quickly. And you also don't want the solvent to get into sensors. So there's a whole heap of sensors around here. So there is a little bit going on with throttle cleaner. However, the cheapest and the best throttle cleaner is around $3 US a bottle, and that translates on the shelf in Australia retail around $18. The more expensive a variety, a large bottle of it, which can be sprayed for a large amount. So there's a little bit to explain. Now, luck would have it is that our Jazz keys, the keys for the ignition, both have cracked and failed, and I'm quite happy going around with a piece of sticky tape, holding it all together. So this is a separate issue, which is going to get me going back into the dealership. Let me go into the Jazz Key. So the Jazz is quite a reliable car, but there's a few. Well, I think this is the major fault section. So the key top body breaks in two, and housed inside is a little bit of electronics with a light and a open and close lock unlock button, and batteries associated with this in a weatherproof case. And then this is held between two pieces of plastic. So one piece of plastic comes off, and then the key is screwed into the bottom piece of plastic by single screw. And this is a weak point, an evident weak point, but so both keys have broken. I'm quite content to just whack a piece of tape on it and drive around, but complaints have been made by people using the car. The car's used in general by people in the community, basically. Yeah, I'm short a car, can I use your car? That's all okay. Great car, but shame about the key. So there's the basic request is, well, you're putting your other car, the big car, a big family moving car, in to a service centre a few doors up from the service centre of interest to us, the service centre which did the Honda. So I have this directive to go in and find the cost of the replacement of these keys. This is something I'm now a bit alert about. Perhaps I better not just pay up. And they looked at the keys and they said, it's very expensive. We understand Toyota keys can be very expensive. I offered that piece of information. In fact, I think replacement Toyota keys cost a staggering $3,000 to $5,000. Pretty much the expense of getting a replacement car is pretty amazing. But there is a story about how they have to go back to Japan and support all these things. Whether this is true or not. However, Honda keys are much cheaper. That's $370 each per Honda key to replace the outside casing of the Honda key. And so that's for both broken. That's up around $750 all up. And I thought, oh, look, well, I might have a go. So the story is that I went back and using my experience building components to be fired actually up in rockets. You'd actually get the components and you'd pot it in bouncy resin, or there's lots of components, bits of robot parts I've built over the ages where you pot them in resin. So I knew how to prepare the surface, pour the resin in, and I'm happy to see to tell you for approximately about 10 cents worth of resin mixed up, I fixed both keys up and they're as good as new, if not better. But getting back to the dealership, at this point in time I had my folder and I opened up my leather folder with the actual invoice there. Let's have a look. I've got a few questions about the actual cost of this and they offered the fact that they sprayed the whole cam. So I as well just report what was said back with rather than you trying to follow it. So let's go ahead. This dealership have cleaned, offered and cleaned the throttle head, which is the air intake with a paddle on it. That paddle can actually become greased. And if your car doesn't idle properly or stalls, that means the throttle is sometimes caught and or it doesn't stop cleanly. So a mechanic can very clearly hear instantly if your throttle needs cleaning, your throttle head needs cleaning. But getting back to it, we've got this cam in the Australian stores, $5 to $18, depending on which brand you buy, and their can is $52.90. Now, the issue, obviously, which they immediately were alert to, that the you wouldn't use the entire can on a throttle, so you're obviously charging multiple customers. So I didn't even get to say that, and they said, no, look, these are small specialist cans, that a few sprays and the entire can is empty. We buy them very small specialist cans, and we do it because it's really concentrated. Now, given that this is a volatile substance, it's going to be hard to put anything else besides that volatile. You have to have something for them to sell something. Oh, look, it's very hard to go. I found that a bit rich to believe, but I didn't say it's anything. And they said, and it's so expensive that we have to keep it under lock and key, because the mechanics who put it in will tend to pocket it because it's small and expensive, and they love it. They use it on their own cars, and so they tend to go walking. So we have to keep it under lock and key. So eventually I'll go back and find out whether this is actually a true statement. Do they actually have a cabinet with a lock and a key, or is it under lock and key as you keep a dangerous pharmaceutical or a gun, for instance, where you don't have the key and the lock together, and anyone can just undo the key and the lock and get the can and go back in, and if it's controlled. However, the overall idea is that they've elected to use this very expensive product, because it is so expensive and it's just a small single-use can, specifically to charge people the maximum amount of price per can. So that was interesting. And then further it was offered that the actual product is sold not by the dealership, but it's by someone who actually comes in from the product supplier. So the supplier sends someone into the dealership, and the dealership hands over the client telephone information, and they sit there and they ring up and they phone up the hapless customer and say, "I'm phoning from the dealership." Now, that much is true, that they are phoning from the premises of the dealership, but they're actually not phoning on behalf of the dealership. I did actually point this out. Are they phoning on your behalf? Are they identifying themselves? No, they're not. They're an independent company, but we endorse them. We rather like them. Of course, they would like them because they are pumping them to sell additional service 50-50, i.e. it's $52.90 for the can. They only get a small markup. They said it costs them $48 for the can. That's just getting more and more information out of it. And then they get a $60 in the pocket for the service fee. And then obviously go to the effort of printing it out on the bill. They have to go to the effort and the intellectual property of putting Australian consumer law such that the two things don't appear side by side. Then they offer the information that this person comes in and phones up every single time you're in there and advises you to get throttle head cleaning every single time. So don't do it every single time. Do it once every 2 years. Again, there's all the sorts of information. I suppose clearly here, rather than just thumping the table and instantly and say, "I'm not paying this," I've slightly got a bit more information. Not that I'm a bit sensitive. I'm probably wasting my time looking at it, but I've learnt a bit about throttle heads. I've learnt a bit about how they get dirty. I've learnt a little bit about the effect on the car and that a trained mechanic would go ahead. We've got to go through the very icky place of deceptive contact. Is the invoice deceptive? And is that practically deceptive? And that really needs a third party to see. Is it deceptive to say that you're phoning for the dealership if that gives the incorrect impression that the person is speaking as part of the dealership with a reputation of the dealership? When they refer to a mechanic, you would assume that it is the actual physical mechanic who is working on the car. But it turns out it may well be that it is a mechanic they have heard, and what they are saying is a general statement, not to do with your car, but with cars in general. So they're making general statements, but one would think it's in the Pacific area. And then the other issue is that if you've given your contact information, is it right and not signed off to the Honda dealership that you prepared to release your contact information details and confidential information to a third party. Is that right? So these issues will slowly dig away within our upcoming third episode, which I'll tack on to the end of it. I think in the meantime, I'll just get a bit of information from other dealerships, how they actually operate as I walk up to them and meet people socially, just ask a bit about it and slowly chip away at this, and at certain times put up an efficient way forward. So just in summary, I suppose the reason why I'm podcasting in this area is just to show a different way of moving ahead, where you create the least social disruption, but you expose a belief system or a process system in place and actually pick away at it and gather information slowly around it and slowly build up. Will I ever get the money back? Perhaps not. I might. If I'm very lucky, I'll be able to get all bills I've had at this place looked at, and certain expenses struck out if they've been deceptively achieved. There's a sort of the legal aspect of it, but there's also the Australian belief that you should be straightforward in what you say and not trick people, but also that there's sort of a social responsibility to allow people to get about their business in the best way possible, in that the person that you are tricking or diverting with your trickery may well be have a more noble thing to be doing. They may well be looking after other people. They may be doing some other positive things. So I think it's two levels, i.e. the money could be directed to a better purpose, and the time worrying about the money could be directed to a better purpose. So that's my thoughts at the moment, and I'll catch up with you later. Thanks for listening.